Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another Flower Farmer Forum podcast episode. My name is Liz Fidler-Mergen. I am your host. I own Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in St. Joe, Minnesota, and I founded Bloom and Grow LLC to help meet the needs of other growers. So thank you so much for listening. I am inviting you to the 2025 Flower Farmer Forum in-person conference. I'm going to spend this episode telling you what it is, and I would love to have you attend and join us. I hosted this for the first time last year at the Holiday Inn in St. Cloud, and we had between attendees and speakers, we had over 40 people present in the same room from the same industry, and it was so exciting. And I feel like the best way that I can describe why we started this event is I'm creating the room that I want to hang out in, because I feel like right now it doesn't exist. And I want to help elevate the industry. I want to answer those questions that we all are wondering. And the truth is, yes, there are types of flower farming that have been around for a long time, but it's, for the most part, it's a lot of agritourism, agritainment. It's a lot of retail, customer facing. It's a lot of marketing. It's a lot of business mindset. And I think most of us got into this because we love gardening, and we're finding that we need help with other parts too. And even gardening, it's not large scale gardening, it's small scale farming. And there is a massive difference in trying to grow profitably. So I want to connect like-minded people and put them in the same room together and all learn and grow from each other and just build this community. So today's episode, we're going to talk about what the conference is, what to expect, and how it's helping you guys connect, learn, and grow. And again, this year it's going to be held at the Sartell Community Center, which is a shift from last year's Holiday Inn venue. And that's because I want to keep the costs more affordable for attendees. Next year, we will be able to host it at my farm because I will have my event space done. But for now, we're not going to be able to do that. And this year, we're expecting over 50 attendees, a bigger turnout than last year. And we were able to use the feedback from those. And I'm just really excited, if you can't tell. If you attended last year, either in person or virtually, you do get to attend this year for 40% off. And that is to just thank those people that really invested in the original, you know, the founding members. I'm calling it the Legacy Blooms discount. So that expires November 1st. And then everybody else, if you use the code EARLYBIRD, you save 30% off if you register by November 15th. We really do need people to register early so we can continue planning it. But of course, you know, you can register whenever you want. Talk to your accountant. It is a tax write-off. It's, you know, it's an educational learning opportunity. I can provide a certificate of completion if you need it. And Sunny Mary Meadow Coaching LLC, sorry, Bloom and Grow LLC, Sunny Mary Meadow Coaching is part of it. But you can definitely use it as a business expense and your travel to come to it and your hotel stay if that's what you need. But it is a conference for flower farmers focusing on learning, sharing, and growing together. It is designed for both new and experienced flower farmers alike, and it covers essential business, growing, and networking topics that are going to help you thrive. So I am going to share the session highlights for the conference and what to expect the day of. So the conference is going to start at 9 a.m. Registration will be before that. You'll get emails. Don't worry. You don't have to write this down. But we are going to start with Accounting 101, Tax and Business Essentials for Flower Farmers. So learning the tax and financial structure basics that every farm business needs. And we're going to cover tracking revenue, managing deductions, setting up your business as an LLC or a sole proprietorship, and using that software for bookkeeping. So just things that are going to streamline it, make it easier. And even if you think you have this completely figured out, I promise you will learn something. And I know that this will be one of those sessions where I'm going to see light bulbs go off and aha moments and oh shit moments. Like, I've been doing this wrong the whole time, or are you kidding me? And the presenter that we have, I'm not quite ready to announce who it is, but I did inform them that not everyone's going to be from Minnesota. There will be surrounding states. There will probably be North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin, is what I've been told so far. I haven't looked at the registration. I think there's 9 people signed up so far already as I'm recording this on October 22nd. But I did tell the accountant that those surrounding states, but no matter what, as long as it's enough time to prepare, we'll be able to have that information and they can at least point you in the right direction if there's something specific there. At 10:30 that morning or in the morning, so that's about an hour and a half session, the Accounting 101 will be. And we're also going to cover, sorry, in that accounting, we're going to cover a few basic things like employees, W-2 versus 1099, how to hire help, how to do that, you know, whether or not you have to pay payroll taxes, just kind of those growing your business accounting needs and what the difference is, and help you navigate through the best way to do that. And then we're going to go to cover crops. So utilizing cover crops to promote soil health in flower farming. And cover crops, for me, I've started incorporating them. They are a game changer for soil health. This session is going to dive deep into specific cover crops and techniques for flower farmers and that grow well in colder zones, zones 3, 4, and 5, to improve soil structure and fertility with real life examples. Now, if you're in a zone 6, that's, you know, a little bit of pocket of warmth. You're still invited to come, but I really am tailoring some of these sessions to be zones 3, 4, and 5 because I feel like there's nothing for that. And it's not just cool flowers, it's cold. We're growing in the tundra here sometimes in the winter. And so I want to network with those specific problems that we face compared to warmer climates. Then I'm really excited to have a lot more structure to our peer exchange sessions. So we're going to have an opportunity to just foster those relationships. And I have some prompts, and you'll be able to sit at the table that you want to sit at. And maybe you want to squeeze in multiple sections, but I want to set up opportunities for, hey, you guys live an hour apart, or you live a half hour apart. Yeah, maybe your competition, or maybe you can split a tray of 200 plugs because you don't need 200 feverfew plants. You only need 100. And now you don't have to pay for shipping. Or we can set up some dahlia swapping and you want to swap tubers or exchange or whatever that might be. Or say, you know what? I don't grow peonies, but I have a high need for them. And you have 1,000 plants. And can I just buy some from you in June for the next couple of years or whatever that might be? But just some interactive sessions for exchanging ideas and fostering those relationships with the other flower farmers. And this is where the real collaboration starts to happen. I know that so many that attended last year wish that there was a little bit more time for networking. And it's so hard because you want to have this social event balanced with meeting each other. And so that's why I really want that designated time for that. But we'll talk about the networking in a little bit. At noon, I am going to have my friend Megan May come. She is going to give a speech during lunch. And we're just going to take a little break and listen to a motivational speech focused on, you know, mental wellness. And farming is such hard work, and it is so important to take care of yourself as you build your business. And I don't know about you guys, but a good motivational speech can tide me over for a couple months. Like, it just gets me fired up. So I'm excited to have that over the lunch hour. Then we're going to talk about spring blooms. And we're really going to push the envelope for flowers in May and June in zones 3 and 4 and 5, which growing cool flowers in cold climates is tough, but it's not impossible. So we're going to share real life techniques for extending your season. So frost cloth, high tunnels, low tunnels, how we get those flowers in May and June, and just really work through, hey, did this work? Did this not? Is it worth it? How much work was it? You guys know that I did some overwintering of ranunculus last year and I planted them in the spring. My friend Brianna has an enormous high tunnel that she uses to crank out the blooms for early June. And that's really what needs to happen. I think that people are excited to have flowers early on. And then, you know, people just really don't buy flowers from mid-June to mid-August. It's just kind of that lower season. And so we really just want to have an informational panel on what types of flowers and what specific varieties do well. And we're just going to kind of push the envelope on that. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to share farmers to florists. So how I've started to manage my own hub for local wholesale markets. And we can help you increase your profits and manage your own sales to florists, or you can work with us. And we're just going to explore the benefits of maybe you want to set up your own little wholesale hub and tips for creating those sustainable partnerships with the florists. And we're just going to navigate through that a little bit. We are going to send out sooner than later. This will probably be sent out by early December, but we're going to send out an anonymous survey. So I won't even know who it's from, but it'll be a Google form. And I want to know what sells, what doesn't, the insights on the current market trends, you know, a deep dive into adapting and evolving the flower industry. And I just want to hear from you guys what worked well and what hasn't, because I think with information comes knowledge, comes power, comes sales. And we're all doing this to try to sell our flowers. So I want to just really dive deep into, you know, what the collective, you know, what the frustrations are in the room, what's working well, what isn't, and just really work off of that. And I feel like if it's a little bit more anonymous, that'll be helpful. And then I am going to wrap up the day with key takeaways from the forum, you know, actionable steps that you can apply to your farm right away, and then talk about different community opportunities and how to continue learning beyond this event. I can talk about options like Farmer Florist Bootcamp or peddling perishable products or whatever you might need, but don't worry, it's not going to be too long of a sales pitch, but just kind of wrap up what the next steps are. And then we will have an optional peer exchange happy hour. So when the day is done, we're going to have an optional happy hour at 5 p.m. So we're going to try to wrap up about 4:30. If you have to go home, you can. Otherwise, you can stick around just for continuing networking. We did it last year unofficially, and then it kind of felt like we only invited half the people, but everyone was invited. But it was just this, like, people are like, if I would have known we were all going to go out to eat or get together or something, I would have stayed, or I would have got my hotel room one more night, or I would have made arrangements or whatever. So I am officially inviting everyone to hang out afterwards. We have thought about like a Friday night welcome dinner because so many people come up the night before as well. And just an optional, you know, place to meet, happy hour, relaxed evening before the event officially kicks off. And again, I want everyone to feel welcome. If you know me, I am like an extroverted extrovert. So if I'm there and I see someone new, like I'm definitely going to go out of my way to say hi. So is Abby. Abby will be there, podcast producer. But I just want you to keep an open mind about it. If you have questions, please email liz@sunnymarymeadow.com. Let me know what you're thinking. We would love to have you there. So whether you're farming in Minnesota, the greater Midwest, or right here in Stearns County, I want to take a moment and invite all of you to connect and learn together. I know some of you may feel like you're too close to my farm or worried that it might be weird to support what could feel like competition, but please set aside those worries. This is my formal invitation to say that I truly mean it when I say all are welcome. We're not just individual businesses. We are part of a larger community. When we all do better, we all do better. If the quality of the flowers we all grow improves, our businesses thrive, and the entire industry is elevated. It's not about competing. It's about uplifting each other. The stronger our collective offerings, the more we can shape consumer expectations and create a demand for local, high-quality flowers. I believe in learning from each other and supporting one another, regardless of the geography or market proximity. So let's continue to raise the bar, learn from one another, and grow stronger together. Your success is not a threat. It's an opportunity for us all to flourish. Now, keep in mind that we all say how much better local grown flowers are. We all do it. We say, you know what, ours aren't imported. They're not sprayed with chemicals. There's less carbon footprint, da 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 da. And they're cheaper. What? Like, and they're not. They shouldn't be. They don't need to be. There is no reason that my ranunculus or my peonies or my snapdragons shouldn't command the same retail price as those that are imported. And we need to all stand behind that a little bit. And I'm not telling anyone what they need to price their flowers for, but if we all elevate that standard of the industry and people have that higher expectation of what it means to get locally grown flowers for those premium stems and understand, then I think it just really elevates that product. And it helps consumers understand that, you know, all of these reasons, and cheap doesn't have to be on that list. I am not speaking for everyone here, because I feel like when you make assumptions or when you talk collectively or when you speak on behalf of a large group, there's always going to be someone who is the exception. However, from my understanding, by and large, the majority of my listeners are selling flowers retail to end customers. They're not selling wholesale bouquets. They're selling retail to end customers. There's sales tax on it. It is an end product. And, you know, you go on social media and people do a really good job of talking about why locally grown flowers are so valuable and what sets them apart from imported ones. But I think that we need to elevate the industry by having a collective stance on what that means. So I think educating the consumers that I'm not saying that my bouquet is going to last longer than something else. For some reason, people have this idea that the number of days that flowers last should be the highest priority. And when we say that they last longer, I mean pretty much the snapdragons that I grow and are picked fresh that day are going to last longer than the ones I get from the wholesaler. The locally grown peonies, the locally grown ranunculus, the locally grown whatever it is, when you're comparing apples to apples or dahlias to dahlias or peonies to peonies, the locally grown ones are going to last longer. Now, what customers don't understand is they say, you know, they get a dozen roses, baby's breath, mums, carnations, and they're like, oh, they lasted 3 weeks. Well, I'm not comparing my dahlias to your genetically modified, chemically sprayed roses. I'm not comparing my zinnias to your carnations that are 2 weeks old by the time you get them, and then they last another 2 weeks. So I think trying to help them explain that, you know, when you're comparing apples to apples, because I've had customers say that they're like, oh, well, they only lasted 5 days. I'm like, the fact that my peonies lasted 5 to 7 days because they were picked at the perfect time compared to ones that you buy at the store or through a wholesaler that are wide open by the time you get them. Mine were cut at the marshmallow stage. They last a lot longer. Last spring, I sold my peonies and I got so many messages saying, oh my God, they lasted 6 or 7 days. How did this happen? And it's like, yep, they were picked at the perfect time. It took a couple days. I actually had someone come, they were $30 for ranunculus, peonies, and I can't remember what else was in them. I think it was just ranunculus and peonies. And she's like, yeah, I thought there'd be a little bit more bulk to them. No offense, but I decided to pass once I saw them. And I'm like, that's because they were all closed when you saw them and they were like in the cooler at 38 degrees. Oh, it was tulips too. So they're tight and they're underwhelming when the customers first saw them. But I'm like, you have no idea what you missed out on. And then that same customer saw some photos a couple of days later that I reshared of those same exact bouquets. And she's like, yeah, I'm an idiot. You know, I think that if we talk about the reasons that local flowers are so great, we don't have to include the price, because that doesn't have to be something. It doesn't have to be this, and they're cheap. I think we feel this need to like make them as cheap as possible. So if we really do believe that our locally grown flowers are better than the imported version of those flowers, then I think that we need to just have that sense of confidence that we know what we're talking about. And it doesn't feel so bad. It doesn't feel so, you know, by taking a stance on what these flowers are worth. The reason I want so many of us to gather in the same room is because I want us all to have that confidence in what we are selling, what we are growing, what we are doing matters, and in a real way. And we do believe that they are superior products. Now, sometimes I'll get those customers that just plain don't get it. They don't understand the local flower movement. They don't understand the difference. They just don't get it. And so I think that it is not our responsibility to provide all of that, all of these great benefits of local flowers, and make them cheaper. So I think that, you know, while local flowers offer many benefits, it's not possible to compete with those low prices of mass-produced imports. And so the quality, the freshness, the sustainability comes at a higher cost, and that's okay. And I feel like when we all get in the room together and we know that we all believe that and we all value it, it is going to help elevate the industry and the value of paying a fair price for flowers grown with care and love and dedication. And that's why customers get so much more than just the blooms when they buy local. And so I think that, you know, supporting each other as local flower farmers, it's if we want this industry to keep going, I don't want this to be a fad. I don't want this to be, hey, remember when flower farming tried to make a comeback and everyone was bored out of COVID and in 10 years, we're just back to roses and whatever, because it's cheaper. Like, no, we've done so much work in trying to share the value of locally grown flowers. And I feel like a conference such as Flower Farmer Forum Conference is so needed to refresh us and know that what we are doing matters. What you are, if you are listening to this episode and you either have started your own flower farm or you're thinking about it, I commend you and I thank you. And when we all do better, we all do better. Like, I'm going to cry. I'm not a crier. I'm just like emotional about it. And I really just would love for you to come and help us continue progressing this movement. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.